While we celebrate technological marvels and economic booms, 1 billion people remain trapped in medieval conditions of war, disease, and extreme poverty. These aren't just people falling behind in development, they're actively falling apart, diverging from humanity at an accelerating pace. While 4 billion people in countries like China, India, and Vietnam experience rapid growth, the bottom billion, predominantly in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Central Asia, face negative growth rates, creating a gap that widens by about 5% annually. This divergence creates two fundamentally different worlds. In one, children grow up with expanding opportunities. In the other, talented individuals use their energy not to build their nations, but to escape them. Doctors, engineers, and entrepreneurs, the very people who could drive meaningful change, flee, creating a devastating brain drain that further depletes these nations of essential human capital. Why have traditional development approaches failed these countries? Because they face fundamentally different challenges than typical developing nations. They're not simply victims of global capitalism or colonial legacies. They're caught in specific, identifiable traps that require carefully tailored solutions. Breaking these cycles demands a comprehensive approach using multiple policy instruments simultaneously, from security guarantees and trade preferences to governance reforms and targeted aid. The bottom billion aren't poor by accident. About 73% have experienced civil war, 29% depend primarily on natural resources, 30% are landlocked with bad neighbors, and 76% have endured poor governance. Many face multiple traps simultaneously. Civil wars reduce economic growth by 2.3% annually, leaving countries approximately 15% poorer after a typical 7-year conflict. Disease spreads through refugee movements, killing more than combat itself. Countries face a 50% chance of relapsing into conflict within a decade, with places like the Democratic Republic of Congo needing 50 years of peace just to return to 1960 income levels. The natural resource trap creates a paradox. Countries rich in oil or diamonds often grow more slowly than resource-poor nations. Resource wealth corrupts governance, enabling patronage politics, where voters are bribed with public money instead of receiving public goods, creating a survival of the fattest political system. Landlocked countries with bad neighbors face transport costs 50% higher than coastal states. Unlike Switzerland, surrounded by prosperous markets, Uganda is surrounded by problematic neighbors. With only a 1.6% probability of sustained governance turnaround, failing states typically remain trapped for an average of 59 years. While international trade transformed developing economies over the past 25 years, with 80% of their exports now being manufacturers rather than primary commodities, the bottom billion missed this crucial opportunity. Manufacturing shifted to developing countries when the wage gap overcame the economies of agglomeration, creating an explosive shift to low-wage Asia. The bottom billion missed this transformative moment during the 1980s. In Africa, only 4% of coastal, resource-scarce populations lived under governance capable of supporting export diversification. Mauritius stands as the primary success story, developing textiles before diversifying into services and achieving sustained growth above 5%. This missed opportunity created a vicious cycle, reducing incentives for reform. Leaders implement difficult changes only to see limited results, leading to political backlash, vulnerability to populist promises, eroded confidence in market policies, and accelerated brain drain. The bottom billion must now wait until Asian development creates a similar wage gap with them as existed between Asia and rich countries in 1980, potentially a decades-long wait. Aid has added roughly 1 percentage point to the bottom billion's annual growth rate over 30 years, preventing severe decline but not driving prosperity. Doubling aid won't double this effect due to diminishing returns, with effectiveness declining around 16% of GDP. Despite bureaucratic challenges, aid has proven more successful than oil revenues in promoting growth. Aid agencies' projects, procedures, and conditions add value compared to unrestricted money flows that often foster corruption in bottom billion governments. Aid effectiveness depends heavily on governance quality. In Chad, less than 1% of health funding reached clinics, while countries with stronger institutions like Botswana show better utilization. Impact varies dramatically across the four traps, requiring tailored approaches. The most promising role for aid is supporting governance turnarounds, as seen in Ghana and Rwanda. Technical assistance becomes vital when political opportunity arises, while financial aid becomes useful only after reforms have continued for several years. Despite Iraq making military intervention unpopular, external forces play vital roles in bottom-billion societies, restoring order, maintaining peace, preventing coups, and expelling aggressors. Somalia demonstrated intervention necessity. When U.S. forces withdrew after 18 fatalities received intense media coverage, Somalia remained without government for 12 years, with hundreds of thousands dead. Conversely, Britain's Operation Palliser established lasting peace in Sierra Leone at a fraction of continued conflict's cost. Even more cost-effective are changes to laws in international norms. Western banks accept deposits looted from poor countries while resisting repatriation. We freeze terrorist funds quickly but remain reluctant with corrupt money. International standards effectively transform governance, as seen in Eastern European countries adapting to meet EU requirements. The bottom billion needs similar norm-setting mechanisms through charters for natural resource revenues, democracy, budget transparency, post-conflict situations, and investment protection. Trade policy reveals how rich country ignorance harms development. Agricultural protections in Europe and North America waste billions on subsidies that block opportunities for vulnerable populations. For example, U.S. cotton subsidies, $3 billion yearly, prevent West African farmers from competing despite their lower natural production costs. The bottom billion's own trade barriers also perpetuate stagnation. Their small domestic markets cannot support growth, yet governments maintain tariffs often exceeding 50% on manufactured goods. These protections foster inefficient industries that survive through political lobbying rather than improvement. Research shows African firms can export successfully, but few do, typically less than 10% of manufacturers. Those that export experience rapid productivity growth, 20 to 30% in the first year, unlike in the U.S. or China, where large domestic markets drive improvement. In Africa's small, uncompetitive markets, exporting places firms on a productivity escalator through exposure to international standards and competition. The bottom billion countries generate enormous costs for themselves and the world, with losses in hundreds of billions annually. Without intervention, they'll remain trapped for decades, creating zones of stagnation, breeding conflict, disease, and migration. We have four powerful instruments: aid, security, laws and charters, and trade. But use the first inefficiently while neglecting the others. Breaking the conflict trap requires orchestrated post-conflict intervention with aid phased over a decade. The natural resource trap needs transparency laws and international norms, while landlocked countries require substantial aid with binding transport corridor agreements. Implementation demands unprecedented coordination with development as a cabinet-level priority. Our current approach is failing as these societies diverge from global prosperity. The path forward: narrow the target to specific trap nations, broaden instruments beyond aid, and coordinate international support. The bottom billion aren't just statistics, they're fellow humans whose futures are linked with our own. Their liberation from poverty traps is both a moral imperative and essential for global security.